A 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck Hualien early Wednesday morning, leaving at least 9 dead and nearly 1,000 injured. One casualty was inside a building in Hualien that sustained heavy damage. The other 8 were victims of falling rocks. They include a truck driver on the Suhua Highway and 3 hikers in Taroko National Park.
At the bottom of a slope, rescuers find a casualty of a landslide. The steep incline made retrieval of the body especially difficult. At long last, rescuers secure the body to a stretcher. With one end of the stretcher tethered to a rope, they pull the body up and away from the site. The victim was one of 7 hikers who were on the Decalun Trail at Taroko National Park when the earthquake struck. Rocks fell on 4 of them, leaving 3 dead and 1 injured. Over at the Heping section of the Suhua Highway, a truck was crushed by a large rock that destroyed the cabin and killed the driver. A white truck nearby was also hit by falling rocks that left a hole in the roof. Its driver was sent to the hospital with severe injuries. In Hualien City, an 8-story building on Xuanyuan Road was left tilted over to the right after a strong aftershock at 8:11 a.m. Its first floor caved in completely, turning the second floor into the first. Rescuers were able to recover 22 people alive, but one woman surnamed Kang was found at 4:20 p.m., showing no vital signs.
The 7.2 magnitude earthquake was the strongest to hit Taiwan in 25 years. One expert has compared its energy to that of 32 atomic bombs. Striking at a shallow depth of 15 kilometers, the quake was felt island-wide. Let's hear from the experts.
This was the strongest earthquake to occur since the 1999 Gigi earthquake 25 years ago. Because it struck at a depth of 15.5 kilometers, its shaking was felt across Taiwan, including in the central and northern regions. Aftershocks ranging from magnitude 6.5 to 7 are possible within the next 3 days, because this single 7.2 magnitude earthquake has not fully released all the seismic energy. This energy will be released slowly over time. This earthquake occurred at a boundary of tectonic plates along a fault system. These little black dots represent past earthquakes in the areas. This time, the earthquake struck here, so it's linked to the longitudinal valley fault.
The earthquake sparked a tsunami warning for coastal areas. Fortunately, the largest wave of the day observed at Yilan's Wushi port measured just 82 centimeters in height. As of 5 p.m. Wednesday, there have been over 100 aftershocks, including 2 that were above magnitude 6. President Tsai Ing-wen was seen at the Central Emergency Operations Center on Wednesday after the 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck Hualien. Premier Chen Jianren canceled his schedule for the day, joining his Vice Premier Zheng Wenchan and Interior Minister Lin Youchang at the center for a disaster briefing. Top officials have launched repair work on rail lines and roads damaged by the tremors. Troops have also been deployed nationwide to assist in rescue missions.
A 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck Hualien Wednesday morning and was felt throughout Taiwan. Premier Chen Jianren canceled his schedule for the day and, alongside Vice Premier Zheng Wenchan, joined President Tsai Ing-wen at the Central Emergency Operations Center.
Since this morning's strong earthquake, there have been numerous aftershocks. We are closely monitoring the situation nationwide and are ready to launch contingency measures at any time to ensure the people's safety. The central government will be in close communication with local governments to provide the necessary assistance. The military will also provide assistance. Through the cooperation of central and local governments, we will minimize the damage of this disaster. We are prepared to meet all challenges. Let us work together. The Interior Ministry immediately established a Level 1 Earthquake Response Center to keep abreast of the latest developments. But as the commander said earlier, we are still experiencing aftershocks. All relevant agencies must seize this golden window of opportunity for rescue efforts and start searching for survivors.
The disaster struck just before the tomb sweeping festival long weekend. Along the East Coast, the earthquake damaged rail lines and other transport networks. Premier Chen has given orders for urgent repairs.
Subsequent rescue work will rely on smooth transportation, so we need to make sure that resource deployment is properly managed. We hope to repair rail lines and public roads as soon as possible. The central government has already deployed rescue crew to Hualien, where a coordination center has been established.
Troops have also been deployed for rescue missions nationwide. The central government said it's activated an emergency response plan to minimize damage to life and property.
The earthquake triggered landslides at multiple sections of the Suhua Highway. The worst damage is just south of the Chongde Tunnel, where debris has completely covered the road surface. A bridge has collapsed outside the Daqing Shui Tunnel, prompting the closure of the entire Suhua Corridor, which includes both the Suhua Highway and the Suhua Highway Improvement Project. Not only that, rail service has come to a halt between the Suaoxin and Fengling stations due to heavy track damage. Crews are rushing to complete repairs. The plan is to restore two-way traffic on a single track by Thursday morning and to restore normal operations by the afternoon. With the Tomb Sweeping Festival long weekend coming up, the government is pushing to arrange other means of transport. It's working with private companies to add flights and ferry services to Hualien. To celebrate Children's Day, which is April 4th, the National Taiwan Symphony Orchestra and Xinyi Foundation have organized six charity concerts that are inspired by books. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang takes us in for a look.
The teacher tells a story while violin, viola, and cello players provide musical accompaniment. To celebrate Children's Day, the National Taiwan Symphony Orchestra and Xinyi Foundation have organized six charity concerts inspired by books. The performances will be held in five cities and counties during the month of April.
The reason why I think these two books are very suitable for performing on stage is because with classical music, we can deepen the expression of the caregiver's emotions and the friendship between penguins in these stories. This is very important for children's understanding of the text. And making the picture books three-dimensional is also very helpful. The concerts of these two picture books will be performed by our dedicated storytellers and four-string music colleagues from the National Taiwan Symphony Orchestra.
The charity event combines picture books and classical music. It will feature performances inspired by award-winning books.
Because for this story, it's actually about a conservationist who came to Antarctica and used a melodica to interact with the penguins. There are a series of stories, so adapting these stories into a concert really fits with the core of the story.
The charity performance concerts will be held in Taichung, Yunling, Hsinchu, Hualien, and Yilan till April 28th. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Yang Kai in Taipei.
And turning to sports, at 38 years old, Taiwan pitcher Wei-In Chen is returning to the pitcher's mound. The lefty from Kaohsiung has signed with the Long Island Ducks of the Atlantic League after more than a year of rehabilitation from shoulder injury. The team's manager says Chen has had an outstanding career and that the team looks forward to the experience and knowledge he will bring.
Wei-In Chen practices on the mound after surgery as his young son watches on. Last month, this video posted to Facebook left many fans hoping for a comeback. And now the good news is out. Chen will soon be pitching for the Long Island Ducks of the Atlantic League. The team announced Chen's signing on social media. Chen's official fan page shared the announcement, along with the caption, "Giving up is easier than persevering. Appreciate every opportunity and give it your all." On social media, the Ducks announced that they had signed an 8-year MLB veteran who previously played for the Baltimore Orioles and the Miami Marlins, and who was named to the Baseball America Major League All-Rookie Team in 2012. In an announcement on the team's website, Ducks manager Lou Ford hailed Chen for his outstanding career and for excelling at the game's highest level. "We look forward to having his experience and knowledge on our pitching staff," he said. Chen, now 38, started his career in 2003 playing for the Chunichi Dragons in Nippon Professional Baseball. He achieved a 1.54 ERA in 2009, putting him at the top of the league for the season. In 2012, Chen signed with the MLB's Baltimore Orioles, posting 46 wins, 32 losses, and a 4.18 ERA over 4 years. Then he played for the Miami Marlins for 4 seasons, notching a record of 13 wins, 19 losses, and an ERA of 5.10. Chen signed a minor league contract with the Seattle Mariners in 2019 and was released mid-season in 2020. Then he returned to Japan to play for the Chiba Lotte Marines and then for the Hanshin Tigers in 2021. After his release from the Tigers in 2022, Chen underwent shoulder surgery. Now nearing 40, Chen has earned more than 3 billion NT through his 18-year career. He stayed in the US to rehabilitate from surgery and had been seeking a chance to get back on the field. Now he's making fan wishes come true with a much-awaited comeback.
US President Joe Biden spoke on the phone with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on Tuesday, marking the first conversation since their historic summit in California last November. During the call, Biden underscored the importance of peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait. Other topics of discussion included human rights in Xinjiang, the Russia-Ukraine war, and tensions in the South China Sea.
U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese leader Xi Jinping on Tuesday held a call that lasted an hour and 45 minutes. In their conversation, Biden underscored the importance of peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait.
President Biden also emphasized the importance of maintaining peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait, and he reaffirmed the importance of the rule of law and freedom of navigation in the South China Sea.
The last conversation between the two heads of state took place at a summit in California last November. The call on Tuesday meant to build on the foundation of that meeting to further develop bilateral communication. Besides the Taiwan Strait, the topics of discussion included human rights in Xinjiang, tensions in the South China Sea, the war in Ukraine, and North Korea's nuclear capabilities.
Among some of those topics, you mentioned a few of them: tensions over Taiwan, the South China Sea, North Korea's nuclear program, as well as China's support of Russia's war in Ukraine.
The two also discussed cooperation against drug trafficking and on tackling the challenges of artificial intelligence and climate change. Speaking on the U.S.'s recent legislation targeting social media app TikTok, Biden said the intention was to protect U.S. national security interests and the American public.
He made it clear to President Xi that this was not about a ban of the application, but rather our interest in divestiture, so that the national security interests and the data security of the American people can be protected.
U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen is set to visit China this week to discuss the country's industrial overcapacity on behalf of American businesses. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is also expected to travel to China in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, Japan Prime Minister Kishida Fumio is scheduled to meet Biden in the U.S. on April 10th. Japanese news outlet Yomiuri Shimbun has leaked the contents of the joint statement to be released after the meeting. A key point is that Tokyo and Washington both assert the importance of maintaining peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait.
Forbes magazine has released its latest list of the world's richest people. Topping the billionaires chart is Bernard Arnault, CEO of French luxury goods LVMH. And with the AI frenzy in full swing, NVIDIA founder Jensen Huang has seen his wealth skyrocket. He has risen to number 20 on the list, becoming the world's richest person of Chinese descent.
LVMH's Bernard Arnault, whose family is worth some cool $233 billion.
Have AI companies or who are using AI heavily in their companies, or people who are running businesses that are producing semiconductors. Swift is the first person to do it just off of raking in money touring, recording, and of course, famously re-recording her way to the billionaires list.
This year's list has the record number of 2,781 billionaires, including 265 newcomers like American pop singer Taylor Swift. Together, their collective wealth has set another record high of 14.2 trillion U.S. dollars. Today, we take you to meet the founders of an eatery in Taipei that serves up authentic American Southern cuisine. One of the founders, Charlie Berman, is from North Carolina. He decided to open up an eatery selling Southern fried chicken and buttermilk biscuits. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang takes us in for a taste.
Mix the chicken breast that is covered with buttermilk with flour. Then fry the chicken breast two times. Now it is time to add the chicken breast into a freshly made large biscuit. Fried chicken and buttermilk biscuits are a signature dish of the southern regions of the U.S. Now you can have a taste of it in Taiwan.
The two things we specialize in here are southern biscuits and fried chicken. They're both used with a very special ingredient called buttermilk, which is part of the fat that separates out when you milk a cow. And it's slightly acidic, so when you marinate chicken in buttermilk, it breaks down the chicken and it becomes really soft and tender and juicy. And then when you add buttermilk to biscuits, it adds a slight tangy flavor and it also makes it fluffy and soft and delicious.
If you're here for breakfast or don't want to eat fried chicken, you can opt for the eatery's bacon, egg, and cheese dish. Applewood smoked bacon, fried egg, and American cheese are wrapped inside a biscuit. Charlie Berman is from North Carolina. He moved to Taiwan 3 years ago to study. He first started making southern fried chicken and buttermilk biscuits for his friends. He later decided to open his own eatery last November. He hopes to bring a taste of home to Taiwan.
One food that I loved from my childhood growing up was fried chicken biscuits, and that was something I was unable to find in Taiwan. I was doing restaurant pop-ups at a friend's event space, and one of the prompts was to make a dish from your childhood or a dish from your home, so I made fried chicken biscuits, and Tammy and Caleb came, and we all fell in love with butter and started working on this restaurant together.
Tammy Hui and Caleb Rogers are co-founders of the restaurant. Tammy is from Idaho, while Caleb is from Texas. Most of the ingredients are imported from the U.S., and the food is made fresh every day.
The chicken has to sit in the brine, the buttermilk brine, for at least 2 hours. So we have to start around 9 a.m. every day, and we pound the chicken breast so it cooks evenly. And then after it's been sitting in the buttermilk for about 2 hours, we fry fresh when customers order it. So that way it's like extra juicy, extra hot when they eat it. And also in an American flour dredge for like a certain type of crispiness that is indicative of American fried chicken.
So that's kind of where my passion comes from here, is like delivering like an authentic American experience. Like all of our ingredients, as much as we can, are sourced in the United States, and the way that we prepare it. And I'm really like kind of passionate about delivering that to Taiwanese people, like giving back, because Taiwan has given me so much.
The founders say that the path to establishing the eatery was challenging, especially overcoming logistical hurdles as foreigners. However, they didn't give up.
There were lots of institutional barriers that we faced as foreigners opening a restaurant in Taiwan, whether that's opening a bank account, going to the tax office, finding a place to rent. Finding a landlord that would rent to us, finding a real estate agent. Every single step of the process was very difficult.
We are not really interested in expanding to other locations. What we want to focus on is this one, and like making it like kind of like a destination for like authentic American food. We're thinking about events and things like that. We're considering like tasting menus and other ways to like focus on American food, talking to other American restaurants here about kind of partnerships and things like that.
So to be able to grow sustainably and to meet, I guess, demand, because I think we're already like seeing that growth, is something we definitely need to tackle.
The trio hopes that their eatery can become the go-to destination for authentic American Southern cuisine. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Daya Lun in Taipei.
One old building in Kaohsiung's Yancheng District has been transformed into a cafe that doubles as a painting studio. Freshly brewed coffee in hand, customers can also let their creativity flow. But the most unique feature is up on the fourth floor, where visitors can take up a brush and coveralls and let their feelings, both good and bad, out on the walls.
Everyone in this old Yancheng District Cafe is hunched over their tablets, but they're not drinking coffee. They're busy painting. Professionals are on hand to offer advice. A rainbow of acrylic paints at the ready along the wall. The owner, Zhuang Ruozhi, had her first artistic encounter at 6 years old. She graduated from college with a fine arts degree and has always dreamed opening an art studio cafe. Now she has succeeded in bringing art to people's daily lives.
Every time I bring it up, people say, oh, I can't paint, but I think it's actually easy. You just have to be bold enough to pick up a brush and give it a try. And we also offer guidance, so you can make your very own painting in a relaxed and comfortable environment.
The coffee setup is elaborate, reflecting the careful consideration that also goes into the rotating painting exhibitions along the walls. A lot of ideas are packed into this small space, but it's when you go upstairs that it feels like another world.
On the fourth floor is a room dedicated to venting emotions. Just pick up a brush, load it up with paint, and splatter it all over the wall.
The white walls are flecked with all shades of washable paint, splattered on by visitors as a way to vent their emotions. Wearing protective coveralls and gloves, they put on a love song and get to work. Afterward, they leave refreshed.
One group of friends played around a lot and I found it fascinating. They lay a canvas on the ground and drip paint on it. After they were done, they sat back and thought about what to change. In the end, they made it into a bird, with the drops as wings. I found it adorable.
Art stimulates endless imagination. It not only brings joy, but daring to get your hands dirty can pull you out of the fatigue of daily life, giving your mind a much-needed break.